Rural Focus.
Hello there to you. Welcome to today's Rural Focus podcast. Wherever you're listening to us today, hey, thank you for choosing the podcast here today. And coming up on today's show, well, it's almost mango season. They're probably in the shops already, but anyway, yes, the mango season. What sort of season are we in for? Well, we're going to catch up with Beck McMullen very soon. Beck is from Riverside Mango, so yeah, looking forward to catching up with Beck very, very soon this morning. How did yesterday's Katanning sheep sale go? Well, we'll catch up with Mark Warren from Nutrient Livestock, but I thought we'd kick off today's show with the big boss from WA Farmers. Hello, and thanks for joining us on the podcast today. The CEO at WA Farmers, Trevor Willington.
Good morning, Troy. How are you?
Not too bad. I was actually reading yesterday your story. Award wage rates are no benchmark on LinkedIn, and sort of came across sort of why people wonder why the labour shortage on farms is happening at the moment, mate.
Yeah, that's an article I put out in last week's Farm Weekly and then extended it. Got a lot of feedback from a lot of people, so posted up on LinkedIn for sort of national readers to tap into, because, access to labour, mining boom, what people are paying is very topical as we go into harvest.
Mate, a farmer's starting to get workers in?
Look, most people are set for this harvest. Okay. They got really good over the last 2 years and scrambling around and finding family and friends, but certainly the backpackers have come roaring back and they're certainly around. But people, farmers, country people in, pubs and motels and whatever, are having to pay a fair bit more to actually attract people.
Is it where the farm is, mate? Is it sort of the locality, or is it the money that people are after?
Oh, well, if you remember the minister's Wander Out Yonder TV ads last year, certainly have people contacting us saying they want to go to drive a header and be able to surf in the afternoon. So, outside of a few great esperance properties, that was romantic idealism. So they swiftly got sent to the bottom of the pile. Look, that didn't help, but people are pretty pragmatic.
Yep.
What farmers really want is experienced machine operators, because, you're harvesting 6 or 8 weeks. You just don't need someone to bend your chaser bin or drive the header into the one in a power pole in the middle of the paddock. You're not going to get parts. You're not going to get mechanics to fix it. So finding those skilled people is incredibly difficult.
I was going to say, that's the hardest part. It's okay to find a couple of workers, but to find the skilled variety, that's even harder.
Yeah, that's right. And we had an ag visa lined up under the previous coalition government, and that was looking very promising. But this mob come in and said, no, they're going to double the Pacific workforce from 10,000 to 20,000. And look, all due respects, these guys are great workers for horticulture.
Yep.
But outside of a small percentage in Papua New Guinea and the Solomons, where there is mines and they build some pretty impressive roads, there's not too many who have been, driving, front end loaders or trucks.
Yeah.
But, that is a potential future workforce, but which we won't discount, and some of them will be very good. But 20,000 people who come from stuff are not natural people to drive a chaser bin. Historically, people, a third from the Eastern States, a third from New Zealand, and a third from Europe, particularly off farms in Europe.
Is there a way that we can get the pay raise up a little bit, mate? Do we have to go to the state government, or is it come from the federal government?
Well, there is the award rate, state award rate, the federal award rate is about $27.70 or something. The problem with it, the federal pastoral award, which the grains industry sits under, is 73 pages long. And if you're following the award rate, it is incredibly complex. How long your crib break is on a Sunday afternoon, depending on what time you knocked off on Saturday. Yeah. So people are paying higher than, into the 30s. But I'm hearing that, some big operators are paying up to $50 an hour for really experienced casuals to drive headers. So, the market is well and truly kicked in and is certainly paying a lot more. And if you look at that article, I've just listed all the alternative jobs out there. You know, you can go and stand next to a pool on casual rates or next to a car park at the cricket on a Saturday evening and earn, you know, well into the $40 an hour. So we're having to compete against that.
The wage disparity, will that always be a big issue? That's never really going to go away, really, is it?
Yeah, the mining industry is always going to pay more. Yeah, but yeah. I don't know, I've ever been on a mine and worked on a mine or, you know, 12-hour shifts. Mm. You know, you're treated like a robot. It's pretty hot. It's pretty unpleasant. Yep. Mind you, their bosses aren't too hot. They've got nice air conditioning offices. but, you know, they pay more because it is pretty rough in terms of the conditions. But, you know, they're down to 2-1. Some are 1-1. Some are ludicrous amounts of money are being paid. But for, you know, heavy truck drivers and stuff, you know, well into, you know, the $60 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be able to compete with that. The problem is they're not training enough people. They keep pinching all our mechanics.
Yep.
And the state government's not holding them to account. So I think something needs to be done there. Paying the state government a royalty money, which they pocket. They don't give us anything back in royalties or regions because they've pinched all that. And they've left us having to pay a lot more to get, you know, skilled and semi-skilled workers. And something's out of whack.
All right. So what do you need, mate, to try and attract more workers?
Well, you know, backpackers back, but, you know, we'd really like to be able to find a steady workforce.
Yep.
So a longer visa, so you can bring the same person back from, you know, Eastern Europe.
Yep.
You know, we should be hoovering up all the Russians at the moment because a lot of them don't want to be on the front line. And they've got a big ag sector, and they've got a big farm machinery sector. Lots of mechanics fixing John Deere's over there.
Okay.
No work because there's no parts going to Russia, so they should be over here working and not shooting at Ukrainians. And but look, we need a long-term, you know, solution where we can bring people in for 6 months and send them home for 6 months.
Yep.
That have got a good skill set. Some of them will come out of the Pacific. Some of them come out of Europe. There's no reason why they can't come out of South Africa. But, of course, you know, probably state government's got a closed mind. The federal government's got a closed mind thinking, well, you know, farmers can just pay more. And that's unsustainable in the long run.
All right. See where the canola sort of crops are starting to get harvested, mate. So hopefully it'll be a good season going forward.
Hopefully it'll be a good season. Hopefully we force is actually out there. The machines don't get bent and they can be repaired when they break down and, you know, we end up with a good year. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you haven't read Trev's story, as he said, it was done for the Farm Weekly and it's also on LinkedIn as well. So it's called Award Wage Rates and No Benchmark. The CEO there of WA Farmers in Trevor Whittington. Trev, thanks for joining us as always, mate. We'll chat again soon.
Good on you. Thanks for that.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
How did things go yesterday? A part of the Katanning Sheep Sale? Well, the man in the know was there yesterday. Mark Warren. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, Troy. Morning, listeners.
How did you go there yesterday, mate?
Yeah, pretty similar numbers again, Troy. It seems like a recorded message just about every week. But yeah, look, we had a total of 4,204 all up. Look, once again, the quality was, you know, we're just getting a lot of bottom-end sheep. So it's pretty hard to quote on, and it's probably not the true focus of what the market's actually like. But look, we had the odd pen of New Seasons lambs there. They sold from 125 to 135. The odd pen of trade New Seasons lambs sold from 110 to 120. Very light and plain, immature lambs, around that 30 kilos live weight, selling from 65 to $85. Look, heavy mutton, wasn't a big heap of heavy mutton there. They sold from 115 to 125. The better trade mutton sold from 100 to 110. The better boning ewes, they sold from 85 to 95. Very light and plain ewes sold from 50 to 70. Look, the odd pen of hoggets, most of them sold from 80 to $90. Very light and plain stores sell from 40 to 60. And there's some pretty good buying there, to be honest. Rams, they sell from 60 to 70. Most grades, very light and plain rams sell from 20 to 30, depending on age. So there's some good buying there, Troy, but it's just, it's very mixy, so it's hard to get a line together. But anyone that wants to eat a bit of grass around the place, Katanning's a good place to come and pick up a couple hundred sheep.
There you go, too. Okay, so that's what happened yesterday at Katelling. You out and about doing more ram sales in your neck of the woods, mate?
No, pretty much finished the rams in my patch. Obviously, there's still plenty of ram sales happening around the place, but in my direct area, we pretty much cleaned them up and had a very successful ram selling season. So, which is good for the producers and the buyers out there getting some good rams.
What's on for you, mate? Another couple of busy days ahead?
Yeah, got still this time of year. There's plenty going on. So right. It'll be same old draft up a few sheep and get some homes for them and do it all again tomorrow.
All right. Not a problem. Mate, as always, nice to chat. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Troy.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Well, you sort of think that summer is here with the weather that we're having around WA at the moment, but it is still months away, which means one of Australia's favourite fruits is about to hit our shelves with the launch of the Australian mango season. Yeah, and new research has revealed something we've all long suspected. Aussies love their mangoes. Well, most of us, 87% of us actually, do enjoy a mango or three. In fact, we Aussies purchased over 72 million mangoes in the 2021 season, up 4% on the previous year. And to speak more about mangoes today, I do have Beck McMullen from Riverside Mangoes. Beck, good morning there to you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Beck, what can we expect from the upcoming mango season?
The 2022 Australian mango season is shaping up to be a ripper. The industry is looking at over 180 million mangoes going to market this year, which is super exciting. Consumers can expect the timeless, sweet, nutritional summer fruit coming through supermarkets very soon.
So, Beck, why do we Aussies love our mangoes and how can we enjoy them while we're at home?
I think Aussies enjoy their mangoes so much because it brings a sense of joy and happiness. You know, as soon as you see that mango pop through the supermarket or your grocer or through the market, you know that summer is around the corner, you know that Christmas is around the corner and your warm weather is well on its way. And I think Aussie families can enjoy them at home in so many different ways. You know, they can cook with them in savoury and sweet dishes. They are a great snack and very versatile and nutritious.
We are chatting with Beck McMullen from Riverside Mangoes because, well, the mango season, it launches today. Hey, Beck, have you got any tips on how we can slice, dice and devour a mango?
This season, we're encouraging Australians to try hedgehogging a mango. An easy way to prepare a mango is by slicing the mango into two cheeks beside the seed, dicing the flesh into a crisscross pattern and turning outward to devour the delicious and juicy taste of Australian mangoes.
There you go. Easy as that. Hey, Beck, the weather around regional WA is starting to warm up, and especially there in the Kimberley. How has the weather this year impacted the upcoming mango season?
We've seen some excellent weather this year, which has set some great produce. We've had lots of sunshine and warmth, which is exactly what we need to grow this brilliant summer fruit that is the Australian mango.
Yeah, we most certainly do. So, Beck, for our listeners today, where can they go to find out more info?
Consumers can expect the timeless, sweet, nutritional summer fruit coming through supermarkets very soon. For more information and access to tasty and easy mango recipes, please visit mangoes.net.au.
All right, go there. mangoes.net.au. Yep, mango season. It did launch today. So if you love your mango or three, get on into them very soon. Hey, Beck from Riverside Mangoes, thanks for your time today and good luck with the upcoming mango season.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Time right now to catch up with the leader of the opposition here in WA and, of course, the member for Central Wheatbelt, the one and only Mia Davies, just join us. Good morning.
Good morning, Troy.
Well, I see where the federal leader of the Nationals, David Littleproud, yesterday called on the WA Premier to meet with the Prime Minister to try and see if he can save the live sheep export trade.
Well, you'd expect that the Nationals will continue to apply as much pressure in relation to this issue, and particularly from a West Australian perspective, we echo those calls. The Premier must make representation to the Prime Minister to explain to these eastern coast politicians just how important this sector is to Western Australia, but also to the national economy. I think there's always been a challenge of understanding just how important the sheep industry in particular is in terms of how you manage your businesses over here, in terms of our international trade relationships. And that's why you see such disastrous decisions being made by federal Labor. So the Premier must step in. He must make representation to the Prime Minister. Otherwise, he's letting down thousands of people that are linked to this industry in WA.
Yeah, absolutely. Legislation for the Emergency COVID Act got bustled through in Parliament last week.
Well, that's one way of putting it. It was rammed through with the usual arrogance that comes from this government with their numbers. I think your listeners probably heard last week us talking about the fact that we'd been given 24 hours notice that the bill was coming forward. Yep. And then we had a full day of Parliament. We were briefed in the dinner break the night before it was due to be debated. And we sat until midnight to debate that legislation. And the Premier and his ministers all stood up and said, this is exactly what you've been asking for, opposition. You want the state of emergency to end. And he's right, we do.
Yep.
We want the state of emergency to end. But this legislation is a state of emergency with another name. The only thing that it doesn't empower the police commissioner to do is to shut the borders. With everything else, all of those powers still exist. And actually, there's even less oversight of the police commissioner as the state emergency coordinator than there has been for the last 900 days. So there's no government or parliament oversight in relation to the decisions that the police commissioner can make relating to COVID.
Yeah, it's very interesting indeed. Now, locally around your electorate, big weekend this weekend. Giddy up, the Coolum Bush races are on.
Coolum Bush races, yeah, it's always a big weekend. Yeah. And I've also got the northern races on as well. Okay. So it's heating up for the race round in Central Wheatbelt.
Yeah.
Very proud to sponsor the Coolum Bush races with my colleagues Martin Aldridge and Colin DeGrussa.
Mm-hmm.
We've always played a role in making sure that this great event can go ahead. And it's volunteer run. It's enormous. And the tickets, as you know, are hotly contested. So I'm looking forward to getting out there and enjoying the day. And I know that the Northern Race Club's looking forward to welcoming all the punters out on the Sunday as well.
The Hyden Centenary is on very soon.
What a great milestone for a little community, hey?
Absolutely.
There's been a couple of these in the last few months. Muck and Wooden a few weeks ago and now Hyden. And, you know, you can expect the fruits of the hard work of the volunteer committee to come to being. And there'll be people from all over the state coming back to celebrate. And I'm looking forward to heading out there and spending a bit of time. And also the Condinan Art Show, which is one of the really, really good ones in the electorate. I always enjoy attending that as well.
And I believe the Wagga local government event, that's happening soon too, isn't it?
That is, yes, that's right. So it starts on Sunday night and all of Monday. They've got a slightly different format this year, but there'll be a fair bit of debate, no doubt, because the government is reforming local government. There'll be reduction in the number of councillors. There's a whole raft of changes that are being introduced. Our team is looking at those changes very closely because we know how important local government is in our communities. The bits that worry us are where there are arbitrary reductions in numbers. Now, for some councils, they've already gone down that path, but we know that people wear lots of hats in regional Western Australia. So making it harder for fewer councillors with more regulatory burden and work isn't the outcome that we'd be looking for. But we'll continue to talk to the sector and make sure that we've got the best format for local government going forward and make sure we raise those concerns in the Parliament.
All right. And just quickly before you go, of course, school holidays, and I believe Parliament's on a break at the moment too. Fishing trips are on the line under the Labor's proposed ban. This is going to upset a lot of people?
Well, it has upset a lot of people. Now, the government's trying to make it look like we are contesting the science. Mm. We are not. Mm. The science from the Department of Fisheries is very accurate, and they actually do very well on managing stocks and understanding where they're at. What we're critical of is how the government's decided to roll out the reductions. And as per usual, very little consultation. And the options that were put forward by industry, I think, have been put to the side. So there is a petition running. It's got significant numbers on it. You can find it either on our website, Facebook pages, and I encourage people to have their views known. So just so that we're clear, we're not contesting the science. We're saying that the government could find a better way to make sure that you don't have such a significant impact on not only the commercial but the rec fishing industry and all of those businesses that are linked to it. And I know even as a landlocked electorate, I have many fishers in my electorate and they're all pretty vocal. So I urge people to put their name on the petition.
All right. Well, as we said, you're on a bit of a break. Enjoy the sunshine. Looks like you've got some nice sunny weeks ahead.
It's a beautiful day in the valley. It's a beautiful day in the valley. And I'm enjoying just a couple of days off after a fairly hectic few months with the by-election. Yep. So I'm enjoying just being at home, Troy.
All right. Well, enjoy and we'll chat with you a little bit later on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Nice to have her on. The WA opposition leader and the member for the Central Wheatbelt, the one and only Mia Davies here on the Rural Focus podcast. And yeah, if you're getting on out to Coolin this weekend, I know there's plenty of people already made their way to Coolin for what is a massive day there on Saturday, the Coolin Bush Races. You might see Mia there. Sure that you will. Hey, that is it for today's edition of the Rural Focus podcast. Hey, love you to be a part of the Rural Focus podcast. If you'd love to, give us a buzz. 9881 4000 is the telephone number. 9881 4000. Love to chat anything agriculture, aquaculture, or even horticulture. The Rural Focus podcast. I've been Troy Stockton. I'll have another Rural Focus podcast for you again very soon.